How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So those are the opening lines of Psalm 13. And Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament, anguish. And there are more psalms of lament, personal lament, than any other kind of psalm in the scripture. Now, what does that tell us as we think about that? It tells us that the scripture is honest that we feel alone, that we cry out, and sometimes it's just crickets, or that we weep, and we ask, where is God? We feel alone, and God seems absent. Or is he? Is he absent? Let's come back to that in a minute. For now, let's revisit where we left Naomi and Ruth in chapter 1 last week. So Naomi, which means something like sweetie, she lost her husband and her sons in Moab, and now she's back in Israel with her tag-along daughter-in-law Ruth. And Ruth is the Moabite. She's the foreigner. She's the outsider. But Naomi says, I ain't sweetie no more. Don't call me sweetie. I am bitter. I am bitter. I went away full, she says, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? God is not with me, Naomi is saying. God is not with me. Or is he? Is he with her? Now, I don't know why it's been hard for you. I don't know why you've lost what you've lost. I don't know why you don't have yet what it is you hope to have, what it is you've been striving for. I don't know. But I do know this, that even though God may seem absent, he is present. He is very present. And that's what we're going to look at tonight as we look at Ruth 2. Even though God may seem absent, he is present. We're going to look first at how he is present. In what ways is he present? And then we'll look at why he is present. To what end is he present for us? So first, let's look at how God is present. How God is present. In two ways. He is present in the toil, and he's present in his people. So in the toil, in his people. So first, God is present in our toil. And I can remember, and the days are coming upon me again really soon, I can remember when my kids were little, giving them a bath and bending over the tub and like trying to bathe them while they're squirming around. And then I would raise up afterward and my back would just feel so cramped up. You know that feeling? Like you've been bent over for a little while and then you try to raise up and you feel your back cramping like that. So, I mean, that was just me bathing my kids, right? Now, imagine you're Ruth. Okay, verse 7. This is the worker recounting what Ruth had said. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. And then verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. So this is sun up to sundown, backbreaking toil, bending down to pick up the leftovers in the field, to pick up just the scraps, the toil of breaking her back for leftovers, for scraps. And maybe you feel like that. Maybe you toil in your field, in your life. It's painful, and you feel like all you're getting is scraps. Meanwhile, others are getting an abundant harvest. Okay, romance, maybe. Clarity about the future. Happiness of some sort. And you ask, where is God? Where is He? Maybe it seems like there's no real purpose in your toil. It's just one day after another. And you're very far from where you'd envisioned. This isn't what you dreamed of when you were little. This isn't what you went to school for. No one has their ambition to glean. Okay? To pick up the scraps in the field. No one grows up with that ambition. So where is God? Where is He? Maybe there's more purpose in your toil than you think. Maybe you happen to be right where God wants you to be. Look at Ruth. Look at where Ruth just happened to be. Verse 3. So Ruth set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come. She just happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. So where was God? Where was He? He was right there in the toil of that field. He was right there. And this comes out in the sort of throwaway greetings that Boaz and his workers exchange with each other. So verse 4, Boaz has come in from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." It's kind of like, good morning. Yeah, good morning. Neither one of you is really thinking about those words, good and morning. You just sort of say them, good morning. Yeah, good morning. And it's kind of like that here. It's just a greeting. Ah, the Lord be with you. Ah, yeah, the Lord bless you. Yeah. And neither one is really conscious fully of what they're saying. What they're saying about God. But God is there. He is there. The Lord is actively there. He's blessing. He's favoring. He's right there in the toil of that field. He's in every strained muscle in Ruth's body. He's in every thought of hers of how in the world did I end up here? He is there in all of that. He was there in that toil. He is there with you in your toil. You don't just happen to be where you are. Your difficulty doesn't equal God's absence. God is present in the toil. He works through it. He is there. He's present in His people. He's present in His people. This is so clear in Boaz. In everything that he does for Ruth, Boaz embodies the ethic from God's law. This ethic here. Listen to these words from Leviticus. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And this is a constant refrain in the law of Moses. You were strangers once, children of Israel. So, be kind to the stranger. Love the foreigner. Love the outsider who's in your midst. Boaz knew this scripture, and he embodied this scripture. But he didn't just know this scripture. He knew his own ancestry. He knew his parents. So who is Boaz? Well, his dad was a Jew, but his mother was a Gentile. And not just any Gentile, but Rahab the prostitute from Jericho. Rahab, who had left her own people to join herself to Israel. That's Boaz's mama. So Boaz had a special place in his heart for outsiders like Ruth. So he spoke kindly to her. Now, did Ruth ever hear the voice of God in the field? Is God speaking here at all? We see Him mentioned. But is He speaking? Have you ever heard the voice of God? Think about little Clara and Kenzie. They're going to be baptized tonight. Are they guaranteed to receive a vision from the Lord? Are they guaranteed to have Him speak audibly to them? Are they guaranteed to witness God's miraculous intervention in their life? Are you guaranteed that? No, we're not guaranteed that. But little Clara and Kenzie and all of us, we are surrounded by Boazes. We are surrounded by Boazes. We're surrounded by the people of God. People who know what it's like to be alone, know what it's like to be shut out. And when we speak to each other, when we act toward each other, That is the presence of God. And so, did God speak to Ruth? Did he speak to her? Did he do something for her in that toil? Yes, he did. He did it through Boaz, and he does it for us through us. God is present in his people. So what does this mean? It means that we, as God's people, we are God's presence to the Ruths and the Naomis who are right here in this room. Don't just think about out there. Think about right here. The Ruths and the Naomis right here. We are the presence of God. So get up, be with, speak, do. Your words, your compassion, they are the very words, the very compassion of God toward one another. And if you're here tonight and you don't follow Christ, you can put the people of God to the test. So listen to me, Christians. This is a field. This is a field of toil. We all toil in some sense. This is a field where you will find hospitality. You will find hospitality for your hurting soul, your hurting life. No one will harass you here. No one will harm you here. Right, Christians? Because we all know what it's like to cry out, "How long, O Lord? Where are you, Lord?" And then we know what it's like when he shows up. And so we want to show you what it's like when God shows up. Just like he did for Ruth. Just like he's done for us. How is God present? He's present in the toil. He's present in his people. And now, why is he present? What for? To what end? Three things. To reward you, to satisfy you, and to redeem you. To reward you, satisfy you, redeem you. So first, to reward you. When Boaz shows this favor to Ruth, in verse 10, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So Ruth, in a long line of biblical figures going all the way back to Abraham, this language really harkens back to what Abraham himself had done, this father of the faith. Ruth had given up so much, so much. She gave up her home. She gave up her gods. And they were more manageable gods. They were more immediately rewarding sorts of gods. And she had a chance to go back to an easier life. Just like you and I. Is this an easy life to follow Christ? Is this an easy life? Sometimes it's like cutting against the grain, like every sort of grain. Like grains in here and grains out there. That's what it feels like sometimes. So is it easy all the time? No. Count the cost. But is it true life? Yes, it is true life. And that's what Ruth knew. It's what she had said to Naomi, "Your God will be my God, Naomi." And here Boaz acknowledges everything that she had given up and that it won't go unnoticed by the Lord. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So everything that you have given up, everything you have given up to find refuge in the true life of the Lord, it won't go unnoticed by him. You've given up relationships. You've set yourself perhaps at odds with friends, with family. Every day you may feel like you're walking against the water and the wind of a culture and a world that pushes in one direction while Christ calls you into another. So you've given up much. But what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? What reward is there? "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. And so your reward isn't loss, loss, loss. It's life, life, life. Now and in the age to come. And God is present to reward you with so much more than you have ever or will ever give up. So much more. He's present to reward you. He is present to satisfy you. Satisfy you. And they're more than just leftovers and scraps. There's a table for feasting. Verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come here. Come here. Eat some bread. Dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers. She belonged. And he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied. And she had some left over. God is present to satisfy you. So you're empty. You're stretched thin. You're just tired. Where are you, Lord? Where are you? Right here, present to satisfy weary hands, weary hearts. You know, there are deep longings in our being. It's what Ruth wanted. It's what we all wanted, to be known, to be loved, to belong, to have purpose. And it's something that only Christ can really, really satisfy. And so come to his table tonight. Come to the Lord's table, to the bread and the wine. Be reminded of that. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. He's saying, "I am life's food." He never runs out. He never gets tired of giving himself to you. Never gets tired of hearing, "God, where are you? Where are you? Help me." You don't have anything to lose that isn't already worth losing. You have everything to gain. Seek satisfaction in him. So come and be satisfied. I can't promise you're going to have everything you've ever dreamed of. Okay? Nobody can promise you that. No one can promise me that. But we're promised something much better than what we've dreamed of. Much, much better. God is present to reward you, to satisfy you, and to redeem you. Redeem you. When Naomi hears about Ruth's day, she says in verse 20, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "This man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Talking about Boaz. You see, in the ancient world, widows like Naomi and Ruth were particularly vulnerable to being exploited. They're vulnerable to poverty. And you see that already in the fact that their only recourse for food right now is to glean, okay? To walk through after the reapers and to pick up the scraps that they didn't pick up. And God's law had said that the people could not go back and get the scraps. That was for the poor. It was for people just like Ruth and Naomi. So you see that they're reduced to that. They're vulnerable. But you also hear this constant refrain, unfortunately, that Ruth is liable to be assaulted in the fields. You hear that at least a couple of times. And so it's very stark for us, the vulnerability that Ruth was under and that Naomi was under by extension. That's terrible. But Boaz, he is a faithful Israelite. He promises her protection. That's not all. Again, Naomi says Boaz is one of our redeemers. One of our redeemers. You see, in the Israelite system, there was this thing called levirate marriage. Okay, so if a man died, leaving his wife a widow, one of the dead man's relatives would marry the widow. And this was a way to ensure all kinds of things, but among other things, it was a way to ensure that the dead man's widow would be protected. So when Naomi calls Boaz one of our redeemers, she's saying that he stands in a line of men who could fulfill this role, who could become a redeemer for them. But here's the problem that we're going to see fleshed out in the next weeks, the next chapters. There's a closer relative than Boaz, who stands first in line to be the redeemer, and it's Naomi who is eligible first for this, and not Ruth. And Naomi is old. She's past the age of childbearing. Not really the one that most people would want to go after and marry, right? We're going to get into all that in the weeks ahead. For now, let's think about the role of redeemer. It's situations just like this, just like the one described here in Ruth, that give us a context for just how it is that God is our redeemer. God is our Redeemer, the Redeemer of humanity. So we, humanity, we were in a field of toil. We didn't know how to be human. We didn't know a way out of the turmoil that's in here. We didn't know a way forward against the turmoil that's out there. The pain, the hopelessness, the brokenness. So where was God? Where was God in that toil? He was right there. He actually came to us. He didn't come to us in a feeling. He came to us in a man. This man, Jesus, entered the toil with us. He satisfied our hungers. He rewarded with life everyone who would lose their already lost lives for him. He made us his very own. He redeemed us. So where is God? He is in Christ, the Redeemer. Remember Jesus, the Redeemer, when you feel alone in the toil. He entered in. He is there still in that toil. He will always be with you in that toil. And if you need him to redeem you, his invitation is that you give up your life, that you give up your ways, the things that you insist on. And he promises the reward of a satisfied, redeemed life in him. So we opened with the first part of Psalm 13, the longing of how long, and the cries of where is God. And we'll close with the last part of Psalm 13. This is how the psalm ends. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You can imagine Ruth speaking those words. So where is God? He's with us to satisfy, to reward and redeem. So don't lose sight of him in the toil. Just look up and look at Christ. He is present with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being present. Thank you for being present to us in your Son, Jesus. Help us to know your presence. And help us to return continually to you, to feed on you, and to find satisfaction, to find life. Lord, be our Redeemer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.